2 Kings 4:18 through 2 Kings 5. When the child was grown, the day came that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said to his father, "My head, my head." And his father said to his servant, "Carry him to his mother." When he had carried him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her lap until noon, and then he died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door behind him and left. Then she called to her husband and said, "Please send me one of the servants and one of the donkeys, so that I may run to the man of God and return." But he said, "Why are you going to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath." So she just said, "It will be fine." Then she saddled the donkey and said to her servant, "Drive the donkey and go on. Do not slow down the pace for me unless I tell you." So she went on and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When the man of God saw her at a distance, he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Behold, that person there is a Shunammite. Please run now to meet her and say to her, 'Is it going well for you? Is it going well for your husband? Is it going well for the child?'" Then she answered, "It is going well." But she came to the man of God at the hill and took hold of his feet, and Gehazi came up to push her away. But the man of God said, "Leave her alone, for her soul is troubled within her, and the Lord has concealed it from me and has not informed me." Then she said, "Did I ask for a son from my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not give me false hope'?" Then he said to Gehazi, "Get ready and take my stuff in your hand and go. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not reply to him. And lay my staff on the boy's face." The mother of the boy said, "As surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will not leave you." So he got up and followed her. Then Gehazi went on ahead of them and laid the staff on the boy's face. But there was no sound or response. So he returned to meet him and informed him, saying, "The boy has not awakened." When Elisha entered the house, behold, the boy was dead, laid on his bed. So he entered and shut the door behind them both, and he prayed to the Lord. Then he got up on the bed and lay on the child, and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, his hands on his hands. And he bent down on him, and the flesh of the child became warm. Then he returned and walked in the house back and forth once, and went up and bent down on him. And the boy sneezed 7 times. Then the boy opened his eyes, and he called Gehazi and said, "Call this Shunammite." So he called her, and she came to him. He said, "Pick up your son." Then she came in and fell at his feet and bowed down to the ground, and she picked up her son and left. When Elisha returned to Gilgal, there was a famine in the land. As the sons of the prophets were sitting in front of him, he said to his servant, "Put on the large pot and boil stew for the sons of the prophets." Then one went out into the fields to gather mallow, and found a wild vine, and gathered from it his lap full of wild gourds. And he came and sliced them into the pot of stew, because they did not know what they were. So they poured it out for the men to eat. But as they were eating the stew, they cried out and said, "You man of God, there is death in the pot." And they were unable to eat. Then he said, "Bring flour." And he threw it in the pot and said, "Pour it out for the people, that they may eat." Then there was nothing harmful in the pot. Now a man came from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God the bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and fresh grain in his sack. And Elisha said, "Give them to the people that they may eat." But his attendant said, "How am I to serve this to 100 men? Nevertheless, he said, "Give them to the people, that they may eat, for this is what the Lord says, 'They shall eat and have some left over.'" So he served it to them, and they ate, and had some left over, in accordance with the word of the Lord. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man in the view of his master, and eminent, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man was also a valiant warrior, but afflicted with leprosy. Now the Arameans had gone out in bands, and had taken captive a little girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, then he would cure him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "The girl who is from the land of Israel spoke such and such." Then the king of Aram said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed, and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "And now, as this letter comes to you, behold, I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, so that you may cure him of his leprosy." But when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes, and said, "Am I God, to kill and to keep alive, that this man is sending word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? But consider now, and see how he is seeking a quarrel against me." Now it happened, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent word to the king, saying, "Why did you tear your clothes? Just have him come to me, and he shall learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots, and stood at the doorway of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go, and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you will be clean." But Naaman was furious, and went away, and he said, "Behold, I thought, he will certainly come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and wave his hand over the site and cure the leprosy. Are Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, not better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. Then his servants approached and spoke to him, saying, "My father, had the prophet told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then, when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, in accordance with the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God with all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, "Behold now, I know that there is no God in all the earth, except in Israel. So please, accept a gift from your servant now." But he said, "As surely as the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will accept nothing." And he urged him to accept it, but he refused. Then Naaman said, "If not, please let your servant be given 2 mules load of earth, for your servant will no longer offer a burnt offering, nor a sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. Regarding this matter, may the Lord forgive your servant. When my master goes into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow down in the house of Rimmon, when I bow in the house of Rimmon, may the Lord please forgive your servant in this matter." He said to him, "Go in peace." So he went some distance from him. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, thought, "Behold, my master has spared this Naaman, the Aramean, by not accepting from his hand what he brought. As the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him." So Gehazi pursued Naaman. When Naaman saw someone running after him, he came down from the chariot to meet him, and said, "Is everything well?" And he said, "Everything is well. My master has sent me, saying, 'Behold, just now 2 young men of the sons of the prophets have come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give them 1 talent of silver, and 2 changes of clothes.'" Naaman said, "Be sure to take 2 talents. And he urged him, and tied up 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of clothes, and gave them to 2 of his servants. And they carried them before him. When he came to the hill, he took them from their hand, and deposited them in the house. And he sent the men away, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said to him, "Where have you been, Gehazi?" And he said, "Your servant went nowhere." Then he said to him, "Did my heart not go with you, when the man turned from his chariot to meet you? Is it a time to accept money, and to accept clothes, olive groves, vineyards, sheep, oxen, and male and female slaves? Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and to your descendants forever." So he went out from his presence, afflicted with leprosy, as white as snow. John 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during supper, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had handed all things over to him, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from supper, and laid his outer garments aside, and he took a towel and tied it around himself. Then he poured water into the basin, and began washing the disciples' feet, and wiping them with the towel which he had tied around himself. So he came to Simon Peter. He said to him, "Lord, you are washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not realize right now, but you will understand later." Peter said to him, "Never shall you wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no place with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, otherwise he is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew the one who was betraying him. It was for this reason that he said, "Not all of you are clean." Then, when he had washed their feet, and taken his garments and reclined at the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are correct, for so I am. So if I, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example, so that you also would do just as I did for you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is the one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. I am not speaking about all of you. I know the ones whom I have chosen, but this is happening so that Scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me. From now on, I am telling you before it happens, so that when it does happen, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, the one who receives anyone I send receives me, and the one who receives me receives him who sent me." When Jesus had said these things, he became troubled in spirit, and testified, and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, that one of you will betray me." The disciples began looking at one another, at a loss to know of which one he was speaking. Lying back on Jesus' chest was one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. So Simon Peter nodded to this disciple and said to him, "Tell us who it is of whom he is speaking." He then simply leaned back on Jesus' chest and said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus then answered, "That man is the one for whom I shall dip the piece of bread and give it to him." So when he dipped the piece of bread, he took and gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. After this, Satan then entered him. Therefore, Jesus said to him, "What you are doing, do it quickly." Now, none of those reclining at the table knew for what purpose he had said this to him, for some were assuming, since Judas kept the money box, that Jesus was saying to him, "Buy the things we need for the feast," or else that he was giving something to the poor. So after receiving the piece of bread, he left immediately, and it was night. Therefore, when he had left, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him immediately. Little children, I am still with you a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I said to the Jews, now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I am giving you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus replied, Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you deny me three times. Revelation 14. Then I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, who had his name, and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of loud thunder. And the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne, and before the four living creatures, and the elders. And no one was able to learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. These are the ones who have not defiled themselves with women, for they are celibate. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been purchased from mankind as first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And no lie was found in their mouths. They are blameless. I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, with an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth, and to every nation, tribe, language, and people. And he said with a loud voice, Fear God, and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heaven and the earth, and sea, and springs of water. And another angel, a second one, followed, saying, Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, she who has made all the nations drink of the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality. Then another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, If anyone worships the beast and his image, and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. They have no rest day and night, those who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven, saying, Write, Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them. Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and sitting on the cloud was one like the Son of Man, with a golden crown on his head, and a sharp sickle in his hand. And another angel came out of the temple, calling out with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, Put in your sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come, because the harvest of the earth is ripe. Then he who sat on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was reaped. Then another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, and he also had a sharp sickle. Then another angel, the one who has power over fire, came out from the altar, and he called with a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, Put in your sharp sickle, and gather the clusters from the vine of the earth, because her grapes are ripe. So the angel swung his sickle to the earth, and gathered the clusters from the vine of the earth, and threw them into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trampled outside the city, and blood came out from the winepress, up to the horses' bridles, for a distance of 1,600 stadia. Proverbs 29:1-9. A person often rebuked who becomes obstinate will suddenly be broken beyond remedy. When the righteous increase, the people rejoice. But when a wicked person rules, people groan. A man who loves wisdom makes his father glad, but he who involves himself with prostitutes wastes his wealth. The king gives stability to the land by justice, but a person who takes bribes ruins it. A man who flatters his neighbor is spreading a net for his steps. By wrongdoing, an evil person is ensnared, but the righteous sings and rejoices. The righteous is concerned for the rights of the poor. The wicked does not understand such a concern. Arrogant people inflame a city, but wise people turn away anger. When a wise person has a controversy with the foolish person either rages or laughs, and there is no rest. Psalm 142. I cry out with my voice to the Lord. With my voice I implore the Lord for compassion. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare my trouble before him. When my spirit felt weak within me, you knew my path. In the way where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see, for there is no one who regards me favorably. There is no escape for me. No one cares for my soul. I cried out to you, Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Give your attention to my cry, for I have been brought very low. Rescue me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring my soul out of prison, so that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will look after me.